Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight. We don't normally do Blog Talk Radio on Monday nights, but this is important, folks. You know, we live in a day and an age where government overreach is happening a little bit too much. And we talk a lot on this station about federal government overreach, but when it happens down at the state level, it's just as atrocious. You know, they're trying to take 90,000 acres away from Texas, away from a private owner up on the border of Oklahoma and Texas. But right now we're talking about some land down here in Texas that is being tried to take away from by Texas and for ridiculous uses. Let me tell you, folks, for ridiculousness, because this is a matter of a property developer not wanting to spend money to handle things correctly, trying to do it the easy way, and stepping all over his neighbor. But we're going to let Terrell Graham give us that story tonight. You know, Terrell Graham and his wife's family have owned their ranch in the Texas Hill Country for over 100 years. 100 years, folks, is a long time for property to be in a family. That's generations, folks. That's generations. It's remained a working farm and a cattle ranch, and now the Texas state government is stealing their land so private developers can discharge, now get this, folks, treated sewage from 1,500 living units, equivalents. Okay, homes, multifamily units, so on and so forth. 1,500 living units. Their sewage across their property. And when that didn't really work out exactly right, and we'll let Terrell explain the rest of this, they've decided just recently, hey, let's just take the land altogether. We'll just take it. Eminent domain. You know, we've watched the stories of eminent domain over the last few years, and I understand that there is occasionally a reason for eminent domain, but it is something that is hugely, hugely abused in this day and age. We're at a point where if a developer decides that he wants some land, all he's got to do is grease the pockets of some politicians, put a little bit of paperwork together, and just turn around and take the land. This is insane, folks. Tonight's story is about the Lux family. Tonight's story is about Terrell Graham and his wife, Pat, and their family. But it's a bigger story than that. Because let me tell you, folks, if it can happen to Mr. and Mrs. Graham, then it can happen to anybody for any reason at any time. We're working on getting the news media lifting this up. Let me tell you, folks, if you're listening right now, we want you to tweet this out, but we also want you to tweet out the articles that are connected. If you go down on the page here at Blog Talk Radio, you'll see the links to a couple of articles. We want you to pass those around. We want you to Facebook. We want you to Twitter. We want you to Instagram. We want you to YouTube, whatever it takes to help get the information out. Share it. That's the key to this, folks. That's what we do here at Blog Talk Radio. We push information. We push it. And let me tell you, I want to give a huge shout-out. Because I'm going to tell you, Terry Hall has written two fine articles on this. And those are the articles that are there on the Contending for Truth radio page that you can find. Read the articles and share them, folks. Share them. And with no further ado, we're going to go ahead and just get into this. We're going to bring Terrell into this. And Terrell, I'd like for you, number one, I want to welcome you. Thank you for coming to Contending for Truth Radio and helping us help you get the word out on this. We're going to be here for you every step of the way. We promise that. We're going to try and get this story as far as we can go. But if you will tell our listening audience, let's first start out with just kind of a brief summary of what's gone on. And then after that, we'll go in and kind of do a start at the beginning and kind of work our way through the nonsense you've gone through. I know you've told me a little bit about it. It's horrendous to me that you're even having to go through this. I know a lot of your neighbors at one point were going through a lot, and many of them just got tired of fighting this. So we want to welcome you, Terrell Graham, and I'll hand it to you to just kind of give us a brief intro.
Well, first, I'd like to thank you for having me on. And as we've discussed, this started well over a year ago, and we received notice from the TCEQ that the developer next to us wanted to use our dry creek that's totally on our property to dispose of the effluent from their wastewater treatment plant. And our first reaction was, this is a mistake. This is our property. And so we began through the process through the TCEQ of making public comments, requesting a hearing, requesting that the decision be reconsidered, and this long sequence of events. And on April 9th, we had a meeting in front of the TCEQ commissioners, and they allowed us a contested case hearing on four issues, and which is scheduled to start June 30th. And 2 days later, an attorney for the MUD went before a judge and got him to sign a restraining order against us. We hired some attorneys and were able to get the restraining order suspended and made an agreement to come out and survey our property for eminent domain and for the MUD and their stormwater system. And I guess I should back up a little bit. The issue with the TCEQ has always been the developer, and now the MUD is stepping in with the stormwater. And it's a MUD associated with the development. And we were able to get the restraining order suspended, the first one, and made an agreement to allow the MUD to come out and survey our property. And they immediately violated the agreement in our belief, but we went ahead and allowed them to go well in excess of the agreement. And so that afternoon we heard from our attorney that they were going now and seeking a second restraining order that we had violated their agreement. And, excuse me. So we raced to court, and There was a two-hour-long hearing, more or less, and a second restraining order was signed against us. And my wife and I have lived full lives, both professional careers, and never had things like this happen. And now, in a short period of time, we've had two restraining orders against us. And so I guess that's kind of the broad overview.
Well, and, you know, there's a lot of reasons why this is horrific to me. And one is the reason why I chose Eddie Arnold this morning or this evening and the cattle call. I promote a lot of candidates, and I promote Sid Miller. I promote Dave Souza out in California. He's running for a small supervisor's race. But I got a handful of candidates that are ranchers or were raised on a ranch. They were raised on a horse. They understand some really important concepts about life. By the fact that you and your wife are ranchers, I know I can say some things without even knowing you about you. You get up before the sun comes up a lot, and you don't stop working until the sun goes down a lot. And the whole economy of Texas would fall apart if the cattle ranchers and the farmers fell apart. We'd all go hungry. There was a post here not too long ago about different things that were important in life. But I'll tell you, there's only one thing that's most important in each one of our lives, and that's eating. That's eating, folks. And I'll tell you, so the fact that you are out there, and your family has been doing this, a wife's family's been doing this for a century, out working hard, not to just provide your family a living, but to provide a lot of people around you a lot of food. This is important, folks. I want you to go, and I want you to find those articles, and I want you to share them. I want you to go to Facebook. I want you to make a post about the Grahams. I want you to go to Twitter, and I want you to tweet. We're going to do – this is like Jerry Lewis, but we're not raising money here, folks. We're raising name recognition. I want everybody that's listening, whether you're listening now live or if you're listening in archive, most of our listeners at Blog Talk Radio listen in archive. If you're listening in archive, share the broadcast, share the articles, share the story. Do you know somebody that works for a news organization? Send them the information. We're going to keep pushing this, and we're going to keep talking louder and louder and louder until we get this information out. Because let me tell you, folks, this is a cattle call. This is a cattle call, folks. You know, the cattlemen used to go out and call the cattle, and they'd come in. That's what Eddie Arnold just talked about. We're on a cattle call tonight. We're calling you in. We're calling you in. Help us get the word out. Let's get the job done. Terrell, I want you to just go back to the beginning, the very beginning. And, you know, you can even give us a little bit of history on yourself and on the land. Give us some history of your wife's family and where the land originated from and what was done on the land. And let's go up to kind of that first initial time when this developer started to come in and buy the land next door and you started to see some problems.
Well, I guess the history on the land, my wife's great-grandfather moved to the Bull Verde area of Texas. I don't even think it was Comal County yet. I'm not real sure of that, but there was a time when Comal County was created. He moved to Texas from Germany or immigrated in the 1870s. In 1903, he bought this land that's in contention now, and in 1907, sold it to his son, my wife's grandfather. In the 1940s, he sold it to my wife's father, Edward Lux. And after my wife's mother and father passed away in the late 90s, it was conveyed to the four daughters of Edward and Anita Lux. And so it's been a working ranch and farm all that time. And so in, I guess, 2006, we started hearing some stuff about the land next door being developed. And it didn't raise a lot of warning signs or anything at that point. The discussion at that point was about the effluent being used to irrigate their own property. And we thought it might smell or something, but we didn't think it would have a real direct impact on us. The prevailing winds are from a direction that would blow, if there was a smell, away from us most of the time. And so we just said, oh, well, I guess we're going to have a big development beside us. And that's all the way to, and I guess around 2008 with the housing bust, most of the talk of developments and stuff just died. And then in late, I believe it's late 2012, we received a notice from the TCEQ. And as I mentioned, we thought that it was a mistake, that somehow, you know, just paperwork got shifted, and because this is our property, has been our property, and it's never been questioned in about 110 years now. And in a lot of cases, these types of dry creeks are property boundaries down the middle of them. But in this case, the property boundary is the other bank of the dry creek, with the dry creek being solely on our property once it crosses from the neighbor's property. And once it crosses onto the neighbor's property, it used to fork and run north and west, and on the west fork is where the plans to build the wastewater treatment plant are currently. And their plan is to reroute the creek around the plant, and then kind of they've already rerouted the creek to a degree and added cement and other features that weren't there, and just dispose of it, you know, leave their property and to our property. We filed all the protests that we could, hired an attorney, and then subsequently had a parting with that attorney, and then spent many hours responding to the executive director of the TCEQ and so on and so forth. Our last reply to the TCEQ, I stayed up about 24 hours a day for 3 weeks making that reply, and would sleep, you know, an hour here or two there, trying to learn the law and get to the point where we could have a contested case hearing and have some valid issues. And so on April 9th, we got that, and we were fully prepared to go forward and you know, let the chips kind of fall where they may. And then on all of a sudden, we've got these restraining orders coming out of what seems to us all over the place. And so
what is the reasoning behind the restraining orders?
There, in my opinion, there isn't any. It's just straight harassment.
They're just playing the game, throwing everything but the kitchen sink just to keep you slowed down.
Yeah, and to spend money and so on and so forth, which we spent a pretty good deal of. But to go back, I think one of the key things that really bothers us about this is the morning of the survey that we agreed to. And then they actually spent a couple hours on our property, the survey crew. But to start off, an appraiser shows up, and there was no discussion of an appraiser. We knew that an appraisal was going to be done, but there was no discussion in the agreement of an appraiser, but I thought, no big deal. The next person to show up was a constable for our precinct. And I asked the constable, well, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I have a court order. And I said, no, sir, there's not any court order. The restraining order has been suspended. And so what it seems transpired is that the attorney for the month gave a peace officer of Texas, by that time the restraining order had expired and also was suspended previously. And so I was forced to go up against a peace officer, you know, because I thought something was being pulled, something underhanded, to say, no, sir, you can't come on my property without a warrant. And so that's to us is very disturbing. And my wife is retired from the Texas Department of Public Safety. She's a forensic scientist with national reputation, ran a crime lab here in Corpus Christi, Texas for 10 years. And I'm a mechanical engineer and worked for the U.S. Army for 10 years with secret clearance. I've worked for Dow Chemical and several other companies. And here all of a sudden we're being treated like criminals on our own property.
And that's horrific within itself. That, you know, folks, this is why we do what we do here at Contending for Truth Radio, because this kind of stuff really makes me angry. The eminent domain and the encroachment on your property, that's an issue within itself. But for you to feel in the great state of Texas the way this has made you feel, for them to try and start treating you as if you were a criminal, to start two people that have contributed obviously a lot to society. You've served your country. I had not caught the part where your wife was a forensic scientist. Let me tell you, I watch a lot of Bones, okay? I love Bones. I love that. I love CSI, but I really love Bones. So that tells me a lot about what she does. She's a very smart woman. And for you to be, you're both proud Texans living in the high country, not the high country. we don't have high country here in Texas, in the mountain country down there. Let me tell you, folks, that's not what Texas is supposed to be about. Two people that have worked hard all their lives, and for generations your family has worked hard all your lives, aren't supposed to have to deal with this in the first place. But you're really not supposed to be made to treated in a way that makes you feel like a criminal. But I'll tell you, folks, and if there's anybody that's on the other side listening to this, there always is, let me tell you, that motivates me to keep telling this story all the time, over and over and over again. Because like we say, eminent domain, that's something we fight. But this is personal when they start making you feel like that. I'll let you continue, Terrell.
Well, to just kind of carry on with that, is I think the intention here was to try to make us give up, and all it's done is make us mad. And so if that was the intention, to try to make us give up, they've made a mistake.
Amen. And, you know, I like to hear that, because I'm a big person about jumping hurdles. You know, we've got hurdles that we jump over, and if we don't jump over hurdles, we don't get stronger. And sometimes we get hurdles thrown in our way, and we just got to keep jumping them. And we're going to continue to help do that. The part of Terry's article that came out today really starts really getting crazy, because they came out, tried doing an appraisal on your property. But the next step is now they just want to take your property entirely. Before, it was a matter of throwing wastewater across your property unfettered, which to me is just insane in the first place. I would think that anybody in government would want them to just take care of this right in the first place instead of just running drainage. But now they want to actually just come in eminent domain and basically take your property. So tell us about that.
Well, they never have really said what they want to do. In the meeting for the agreement, I asked what the public purpose was, and they said that the public purpose was that I had raised a lot of questions that they needed to address. And I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like retaliation, not a government action, and certainly not a legal government action. And in the hearing itself, one of the attorneys for the developer said that I had contacted a lot of senators and a lot of officials and so on and so forth. And again, that smacks of retaliation to me and not legal government actions. Who I've talked to and what I've done, as long as it's legal, should have no impact on a restraining order hearing.
No, it shouldn't. And you know, that gets right down just flat out to our First Amendment rights to say who you what you want to who you want. And, you know, let me tell you, I from what you're saying, when they start acting like that, they know that they've got a fight on their hands. And I like that. I like that because their actions are starting to show me like they know that this is not just going to be an easy pushover, and it's not. I want to encourage everybody, go to your Facebook page, go to your Twitter, help share the story. Terry, let me tell you, she's got two great, great stories. I'm really, really happy with those. And there's some other things, though. Let me tell you, I want you to go to, if you go to Terry's second story, or I should say the first story, down there, there's a link on there to the, and I closed that out on accident. I've lost it. I just closed that out on accident. Here we go. It's right here.
Comments.
Correct. Yeah. I'm going to get to that too. We want to ask you. I know we said we're not here fundraising. We're pushing information, but at the same time, we do want to mention this: that if you'd like to contribute to a legal fund, and it's been set up for Pat and Terrell and their family, you can mail to the Greater Edwards Aquifer Alliance. That's the GEAA at PO Box 15618 in San Antonio, Texas 78212. Or there is a link on Terry's article where it says you can contribute online here. Click there. You want to be sure to write contested discharge permit in the memo line on the check. And folks, these guys are farmers. They're cattlemen. They're cattle people. They're part of Texas. But this gets expensive, folks. This, and you know, sometimes when you're fighting Goliath and you're the little David, the big Goliath thinks they've got a lot of money, and like we just discussed a while ago, they like to just play the game. But we can play the game too, folks. If you can contribute, please contribute. If you can share, please share. And I want to hand it back to you, Terrell, to also talk about the Texas Uniting Reform for Freedom. I hope I got that right. I wrote that down real quick a while ago. And the work that Terry has also been doing besides the articles on turf.
Well, I want to say just real quickly that we're not poor, but we're already at near $40,000 in legal expenses and looking at much more than that. And this is not just an issue for us, but this is an issue for all property owners. That if they're allowed to get away with this, that number one, property owners that have failed in efforts like this before us are being used against us now as legal precedents, and if we fail, this legal precedent will be used on property owners in the future. Texans Uniting for Reform and Freedom is an organization that has worked for a vast array of issues, property, and I guess one of the big issues that Terry is and the organization has worked for is to stop all these toll roads or to at least make them better, if not being able to stop them. And TURF has worked just nonstop to help us. And on issues like that, and sure would like to see people support TURF. They're a very good organization.
And you know what? And that's kind of where I want a segue into next, because you bring up something really, really important. You know, I told you we worked a couple of years on freeing a man named Don Miller up in Wisconsin. And there was a couple of reasons why we did it. Number one, there was an innocent man sitting in prison he ended up sitting there for 16 and a half years of a 45-year sentence for a crime that was never even committed, let alone he didn't do it. And he had a mom and dad that were sitting at home that needed their son home. But the other big reason why we all did what we did, Team Free Don Miller did what we did, is because if it could happen to Don, it could happen to any of us. And the parallel is here with what's going on with you and your wife and this piece of property. And you hit the nail on the head. If it happens to you and they get away with it and they set precedent, then it can happen to anybody. Nobody's cattle farm is everybody's cattle farm is free game to any developer, to any government entity. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your business that's been there for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Maybe it's a business that's been handed down generation to generation. Maybe it's just your family house. You know, and I'm a firm believer that there is an occasional real good reason for eminent domain. That was why it was set up. I think it's got to be a real rare situation. And I'm a firm believer that, boy, you better really, really compensate under the circumstances. But I'm at the point where I'm starting to think we just need to get rid of eminent domain, period, because it's always going to be abused. And, folks, that's why we've got to continue to get this story out. That's why I'm going to ask you over and over and over again to help share the information. If you're listening right now, figure out some way you can share the information. Call your local paper. Write a letter to the editor. Let me tell you what, folks. Letters to the editor are a very powerful way of getting the information out. Post on Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media tool you use. Are you helping on somebody's campaign? Mention it. I've made sure to make sure that Sid Miller pays attention to this through him and through his staff, and I'm going to keep poking him because I want him to know about this. Are you helping somebody run for Congress? Are you helping somebody run for school board? Doesn't matter who they are, get the word out. You know, a lot of times, and Teresa Bresky's listening, my good friend, Teresa and I are familiar with the words name recognition. And that's what it's all about, is making sure that every day more and more and more people hear the story. Because I'll tell you, if you've got a lot of people that know what's going on, it is not as easy as if nobody knows what's going on. When nobody knows what's going on, these big corporations, these developers, these government entities can get away with a lot. But when we wake the people up and the people start looking and noticing what is going on, it not so much, folks. Not so what much. So whatever way you can do it, I want to tell you again, spread it. It is important. We've got some listeners out there. If anybody wants to call in, we'd love to have you call in and ask questions. If you've got any questions, you can call us right here at Contending for Truth Radio at 347-205-9620. I'll see you pop in there if you've got any questions as we continue on with Terrell and his story. If you've got maybe you just want to poke in and rant a little bit about this or share a story of your own that you faced with this. But whatever the situation is, give it everything you've got. And with that, Terrell, I want to pass it back to you. There's more I know we can delve into this. I'll continue to let you delve into what you need to. And I'm kind of writing down a couple of things here and there. And then when we come back, when it comes back to me, I'll ask you a couple more questions.
Okay. Well, I think we're dealing with some complex legal issues here that are hard to understand. Eminent domain. And it obviously goes back to our Constitution. The right of eminent domain is outlined there, and I think there needs to be a lot of discussion on that. On it's one thing for our government to be exercising eminent domain, but for a MUD that's unseen, unknown by most people, their actions are not hidden, but surely not on anybody's radar much. And to be able to have those powers, and at least in my mind, is questionable. And then I agree with you, we should be questioning to what degree the government can exercise them at all, but that's our elected government. And this is not our elected government. And this is the best circumstance would be property owners on the property, but that's not the case here. This is some directors that, for the most part, were appointed by the developer or elected, or you know what we can, whatever we can say. These directors, from what I can tell, do not own property in Comal County besides the director's lot that's part of this MUD. They do not live in Comal County, as far as I can tell. All live in other counties, and from what I can tell, the meetings for the MUD take place in Kendall County at the developer's office, and not even in Comal County. And so that's the eminent domain side of it, and I really hope to press this issue going into the legislative session. I've been talking to different groups all over the state, and from the Greater Edwards Aquifer Authority and various tea parties and stuff, and there's a whole lot of people wondering about these MUDs and eminent domain powers and so on and so forth. And I really think that it's past time that our legislature deal with this in this upcoming session. Whether we win or lose, there's a broader issue here for Texas. And the other broader issue here for Texas is waters of the state. And you could ask 10 people what that meant, and you'd surely get 10 different answers. And the way it's kind of starting to be defined is any place that catches water. And as you mentioned, you know, this could be your home, your business. Any place where there's water channeled, you have waters of the state. And it's time for 150 years approximately that there's been arguments over this, navigable waters, waters of the state, and so on and so forth. And it's time, instead of a bunch of court cases stacked on top of each other defining what this means, for the legislature to write clear law. What does this mean? Is this water course navigable, not navigable, and have them all clearly delineated? After more than 100 years, it's a little bit ridiculous that we're still arguing over what's a navigable waterway and what's not.
Well, it is, and you know, you I'm glad you addressed the broader issue. Because, you know, these are things that we can change. We, the people, can change these things if we will get out and put the effort. You know, I've been saying for quite a few years, I you know, we had some good times in the 80s and the 90s. And I think a lot of us laid down on the couch and started watching TV, and we just thought it was all going to last forever. And then we woke up a few years ago to fundamental change. We woke up a few years ago to being spied upon. When I do anything on the internet, I just figure somebody's watching me. Actually, I kind of appreciate it if some of my stuff would go to the White House or the NSA or some of these groups. They might learn something. But we really have woke up in a situation where we got to get back off the couches, and we, the people, have got to get out there and fix some of these things. Right now, the federal government controls 40% of the water in the state of Texas. They don't control very much of our land. Sam Houston took care of that. And they don't control the waters off our coast. Sam Houston took care of that. But they control about 40% of our water inland here in the state of Texas. But they're going after the other 60%. They want to go after every little mud puddle, every little bit of ditch water we've got. And we, the people, have got to stand up. And just as we've got to stand up against the federal government encroaching on the sovereignty of Texas, we also need to stand up to Austin from encroaching upon the sovereignty of the land here in the state of Texas. For people, especially people that, you know, this is the part that makes me want to scream. Your family's had this land for over 100 years. and worked hard on it. It wasn't like a piece of land where you had a big mansion and you sat there and you looked out the window every day looking at the trees and enjoying the wildlife. You worked this land. You put sweat and tears into this land. Those before you put hard work into it. And for the government, for the developer, for everybody that's involved in this, to come in and even think just going to throw some wastewater across your property is unbearable to me, let alone the direction which this is going. I do have a question for you. I'd like you to kind of explain. We've talked about mud a little bit, but explain to us exactly what mud is. You've got the developer. Of course, you've got the government, which would actually take care of the eminent domain. But there's this mud. And how does that work? How was that put together? And who does that entail?
Well, from what I can tell, and I'm not a legal scholar by any stretch of the imagination, that this set of laws dates back to the early part of the century to encourage development in rural areas. This general set of laws, municipal utility districts, water control and improvement districts, and in that same general area, you have the Brazos River Authority and I guess what you call special districts. Some people, I think, call them quasi-governmental entities and that have a set of directors either elected, appointed by the governor. There's just a whole bunch of different avenues depending on which we're talking about, but that basically operate outside of our state, county and local government control, and that people know little about that their operations and the decisions they're making, the debt that they're generating. I was talking to somebody today that was mentioning to me that the Brazos River Authority had $16 billion worth of bonds outstanding, and don't quote me on that, but it was, if I'm correct, I don't think it was million, I think it was billion. And that, to me, that's just astonishing that can be happening and most Texans not know it. And it's the same thing with these MUDs. These MUDs can issue bonds. They have taxing authority, and so on and so forth. And I just don't, even like fire stations and stuff in rural areas or emergency service districts, which are under this same group of laws, these special districts, and it would seem to me that we don't need to encourage development in Texas. There's plenty of development, and I think it's really time that we start reconsidering some of these special districts. I mean, we don't know what our regular government's doing well enough to have a bunch of these little special districts running around all over the place.
No, I love it when a story's got legs, because you brought up another really important point. You know, here's an entity that most Texans, probably I would say less than 1% of Texans have a clue that they're even accomplishing anything, that they're even there. And they've got rights and abilities to do things that on a large scale we'd have to have an entire vote for. But on a smaller scale, they're running around and just doing some really crazy things that shouldn't be happening. We have a government set up by the people to where we can keep track of things that are going on in our government, so that we can make sure that government isn't waste and fraud and abuse but. Boy, when we start getting into these situations like this, it ends up being rife for it. And again, that's why name recognition. We've got to get this story out. We got to make Texans aware that this is going on, not just because we want you and your wife to not have to face this. We want that. That's a huge thing on the plate. But we don't want this happening to anybody else either. And we don't want the waste and the fraud and the abuse that goes along with little organizations put together for whatever purpose, like MUD and that situation between the developers. And I understand that the MUD, I read Terry's article, and let me see if I got this right, and I'll let you explain. These directors on MUD have been appointed, they're basically the developers, until the next election cycle comes around, and then somebody could be elected for that. But as far as right now, you're dealing with what you're dealing with until the next time comes around. Am I right on that, or did I get that wrong?
That's very close, but in this case, they were appointed. They had an election in 2010 with one person voting. And of course, I don't know who that person was, but I have the election results from 2010. And then I think they may have had one other election that I don't have the results for. And I think they're getting ready to have an election in May by their latest meetings. But again, this is very restricted voting, because the only people that can vote are the property owners in the MUD. And at this point, I don't believe any of the homes are occupied. They're building homes on the property now, but I don't believe any of them are occupied. And so those would the people that owning those homes would ultimately be the people voting in the MUD.
I think I'm.
You mentioned earlier that we sat through the 80s and 90s pretty much fat, dumb, and happy. Well, I sat through all the way to 2014 January and woke up in a place that I no longer recognized. And I just can't. I've been here in Texas all my life, and just can't believe that things have gotten to this level where these types of things can happen.
Absolutely incredible. It boggles my mind, and I'm just now really starting to get a grasp on the story. You and I have been talking for a few weeks now, back and forth, and I've been reading some of Terry's articles, reading some stuff around, and I'm having a hard time grasping my brain around this. And I think part of it is because I just don't expect things to be working this way. I expect things to be done, especially in Texas. I think I told you, we just moved here from Texas 4 months ago. We left California because we wanted to get out of nonsense like this. And we come to Texas, and of course, no place is going to be perfect. We know that. And we're proud of Texas. I'm a very proud Texan already. I've got my hat, and let me tell you, any of my friends here in Texas will tell you, I'm already flying my flag, because it is a lot better than California. But we've still got a ways to go. As society progresses, these things occur. 100 years ago, we didn't have to worry about MUDs in Texas. 100 years ago, Brian in the chat room mentions we also have urban reclamation districts here in Texas. 100 years ago, we didn't have to deal with that. We did things with a whole lot more common sense. And that's why, while we're telling people, get yourself educated on this story and help share it, man, we want you to also pay attention to what's going on in current events. Pay attention to what's going on up there at the Red River, folks. Pay attention to what's going on with the EPA and our water in Texas. There's a whole lot of issues that we've got to wake up to and realize that there is some real fundamental change going on in our country, and it's going on in Texas too. And we've just got to absolutely, we've got to get on it, because we the people can change this. We the people, if we talk loud enough and we know what's going on, we can, number one, we can force the people that we're electing into office to act on this stuff. If nobody knows what's going on, they can do whatever. They can run with the lobbyists. They can run with the developer. The developer, I am sure, has greased a lot of palms. That goes on. That's part of the nature of the beast. We can't fight the greasing of the palms, folks. That has been there since government started. That was going on in the Roman Empire, greasing of palms. But what we can do is we can hold our elected officials accountable. We can stand up and make sure that the cover is taken off and people know exactly what's going on. and we're going to continue to do that. You know, where do we sit right now? I know you've got here in June 30th, you've got a they've got a hearing set before the State Office of Administrating Hearings in office in Austin, and they've agreed, Terry says, that they have four legitimate disputed issues of fact. And I could read through those, but I'm not going to. I'll let you just kind of explain where that meeting is going and what's the significance of that and what are the two outcomes that could come out of that meeting. And is there a way, is that an open hearing? Is that something that we can start working on tomorrow, seeing if we can get some people to show up at that meeting, fill that room?
I believe, and again, I'm not an expert, I believe that it is an open meeting. I don't believe that anyone would be allowed to speak, but would be allowed to attend. I believe it is an open meeting. The four issues are, and I don't have them right in front of me, unfortunately, but their characterization of the discharge route, siting, plant siting, that there's a specific set of rules and laws that govern where a plant can be sited, and we've raised some issues about that. Nuisance, that they're creating nuisance conditions for us, and changing the usage of our property, and that are the possibly affecting the ability of our cattle to graze our property. And so where that's going is through a series of procedures. All the evidence will be gathered and so on and so forth, expert testimony and the administrative judge will make a proposal for decision that's non-binding to the TCEQ commissioners, and the TCEQ commissioners will decide whether or not to issue the permit. And then at that point, we can appeal to district court, I believe, after it, depending on how the decision goes.
So is there a chance at this hearing that this could be all laid to rest? Or is it...
I don't believe so. It'll have to go back in front of the commissioners.
It'll have to go back in front of the commissioners. Sometimes the bureaucratic, the set of drawers that you got to go through on this is insane. I know, and I think it's insane. I want to throw out another big thank you to Terry Hall, because I tell you, Terrell, you and I have talked about this a couple of times, trying to put my head around it. Terry's really, really helped me to kind of lay it all out on what's exactly going on in her two articles. We want to thank her one more time very publicly. She is doing a great job. I'm looking forward to looking more into turf and what she's doing there as well, because it seems that she's quite a little fighter, and we like fighters around here. We believe, you know, I'm not a believer in that everything in life is supposed to be fair. I believe that life isn't always fair. But, you know, when it comes to owning your own land, the government should stay out of it. I'm a firm believer in that. And I'm a firm believer that when we're dealing with the government and we're dealing with these laws and we're dealing with these organizations that are putting these things together, you know, it should be fair. It really should be done fair. And it doesn't look like it is being done fair to me. And so we're going to keep fighting for this. One more time, folks, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. Please, look up the story. Find the story. You can find that story. You can find all the links on the Contending for Truth radio page, and you can find the links here on the Blog Talk page. Share those links. Share Terry's articles. There's some other articles. If you go down the Contending for Truth radio page, there's some other articles. I will continue to be sharing those articles. Share them, share them, share them. Get the word out. If everybody that just listened to this this broadcast. Just got one other person to know what's going on. We could double the amount of people that know what's going on. And that's what it's all about, folks. This is our property. The greatest part about being an American citizen is you can own property. You know, there's places in the world, North Korea and China, although China's coming our way a little bit better than we're going in the other direction. But there's places in the world where people can't own their own property. This is one of the basic fundamental rights, and it's the strength, folks, of the economy and the standard living that we live in. And I'm going to tell you, if we lose our property rights, all of those other amendments, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, all the way through that whole entire Bill of Rights, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You know, that Second Amendment rights, many people have said this, and I'm going to say it, wasn't designed to protect your deer hunting rights. Although I'm a firm believer in the right to go deer hunting, that Second Amendment was designed so you can protect yourself and your property. If you don't have any property to protect, what good is your Second Amendment? So I think this is just, it's something important. We're going to continue to talk about this. We're going to continue to talk about it. I'm looking forward, Terrell, as I get more of a grasp of the story that I can turn around and better repeat the story for you. We're going to continue to talk about it on our shows. We're going to continue to mention it. We're going to continue to share this link so that people can listen to you and your words and understand what's going on. We're going to continue to do that. I'm going to throw it to you. We're getting close to the top of the hour. I'm going to throw it back to you to talk about any other things that you think you've missed or that you think that I have missed.
Well, one thing that I sure want to make sure is out there is that this Waters of the State issue is going to cause us a problem in dealing with the EPA, because the EPA is starting to assert a similar issue. Just, you know, the BLM issues have caught a lot of attention, but there are currently issues that I believe Mr. Stockman is working on, where the EPA is working to assert Waters of the United States issues, and he's trying to curtail or stop that. And if we don't have a moral high ground on that, it is going to be, in my mind, hard to stop the Waters of the United States.
Well, very true. And folks, once we go down this road, once we start losing our property rights, our Second Amendment rights, our First Amendment rights. We're fighting for our First Amendment rights right now. I would have never thought growing up we'd ever get to that point. One of the greatest things about this country is be able to just speak freely and just be able to speak the things that people don't want to hear. The First Amendment wasn't designed for nice things. It was designed for not so nice things. But as we continue to go down this road, like you said earlier, Terrell, once precedent has been set, it is very, very difficult to go back. It's a whole lot easier to stop it before we ever get there. And the only way we stop it is for the people to rise up. Every time I've ever done a broadcast, I have mentioned that I do this show from my garage. And as I'm generally the doors open and I look at the neighborhood behind me and I see all these houses. And I know that if I walked into every one of those houses, the majority of the people would probably agree with me on most of the basic issues that face us today. But if I walk through that same group of houses and ask them if they knew what was going on, if they knew what is going on in our country right now, some of these basic situations, some of these current events, they would have no clue. A lot of people that go home, they're tired from work, they put their feet up on the coffee table, they watch sitcoms, and they go to bed. And they have no idea. If you mentioned the word Benghazi to them, they would have no clue as to what that is. If you mentioned the Bureau of Land Management to them, they would have no clue as to what that is. We've got to wake up America. A lot of times we're preaching to the choir, and preaching to the choir is really good for rallying purposes, but it doesn't get us very far. So again, folks, I'm going to say it again. Help get the story out. Help get the word out. Let's get this done. Another big, huge shout-out to Terry Hall, examiner.com. Go to the links. Read the articles. It's very, very important, folks. Let me check the studio here and make sure we don't have anybody that's called in. We haven't. So we are up at the top of the hour, Terrell. I want to thank you so much. This is important, and I want to thank you for fighting, because there's a lot of people in this country who wouldn't have fought. There's a lot of people when the going gets tough, they might sit down. But you and your wife, the more the going gets tough, the more riled you get and the more energy you get, and you're going to keep going. And we're going to be right behind you. We'll be gathering people up right and left as they know this story. I can guarantee you. I got a friend up there in Minnesota who I'm smiling at right now, because I know once she hears something like this, she's going to tell some people. And we've got some bloggers here in Texas that are listening to this broadcast right now. And they've already said they're going to write blogs about this. And we're going to continue to get more and more links. We're going to continue to get more and more story. We're going to continue to get it more and more documented. And we're going to continue to share the story. And we're going to make sure that people get it. I'll toss it back to you for any concluding remarks, Terrell.
Would just like to thank you very much for your time and your efforts, and looking forward to continuing working through these issues with you.
And we will. And if you've got anything, you feel free to message me. If you've got any new links that come up, you let me know, and we will continue to get them out. And we'll continue to be talking about this. We've got some other shows on Contending for Truth Radio, and we talk about these things. Tomorrow night, we've got American Sovereignty Radio with Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama, Dan Wilson down in Florida, and myself. And we talk about sovereignty issues. And this is a huge sovereignty issue. It's going to be one of the topics we're going to talk about tomorrow. Because let me tell you, right now, American sovereignty on the individual level is being fought at hard, folks. They're trying to take away your right to just some of the basics, like being a parent. Common Core is coming in, and it's coming in hard. C-Scope in Texas has basically been renamed, and they want to take away your right to properly be a parent. They don't want you to know what's going on in the schools. They don't want you to know what your children are learning. Our property rights, our sovereignty on our own piece of property is being taken away. Our Texas sovereignty is being totally, totally pushed at from the federal government. We see that up on the Red River. We see that with our water. We see that with our energy. You know, we've got some EPA stuff that's been going on in Washington, D.C. That could really hurt our economy here in Texas when it comes to the energy that we produce here, one of our great natural resources. It's all about sovereignty, folks. So tomorrow night, at the same time, 9 o'clock Texas time, 10 o'clock Eastern time, and that's 7 o'clock California time, join Jennifer and Dan and I as we'll discuss this issue further. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about Tony the Tiger over in Louisiana. A man's got a business, and the left wants to take his tiger away. A very well-treated tiger, I might say, being treated better than most zoos treat their animals, and the lying that's going along with it. You know, I'm going to tell you, folks, Obamacare. You want to talk about taking away our sovereignty, taking away our privacy on our health care, and of course, then there's all the people that got the letters that said, oh, your health care plan has been canceled. We talk a lot about that. We're going to enjoy that show tomorrow night. And then on Thursday, same time, 9 o'clock Texas time, Conover U with Rodney Lee Conover. Wrote for Rush Limbaugh for 6 years, wrote for Herman Cain. If you ever saw that smoking ad, he had a big thing. He had a big had a lot to do with that. Rodney Conover, a great friend of mine. He's become a really good friend. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk politics. We talk fun, and sometimes we're crying. But we try and encourage the grassroots to wake up, and let's get the word out. And then, of course, on Friday, folks, we don't want you to forget the most important reason, the reason why we've got Contending for Truth Radio is because of Ladies Bible Class. I taught Ladies Bible Class for 5 years out in California. When I got ready to leave, we knew we were leaving. I had to figure out a way to keep teaching it. So we opened up this Blog Talk Radio network so that I could continue to do that. So we've been teaching that class on Blog Talk Radio for almost the last year, and then when we moved, the ladies still gather together at the table at Betty's house. I gather at the table here. We open up the Old Testament, and we study through the history of the Old Testament via the Blog Talk technology. It's a wonderful thing, folks. It's the highlight of my week. Every week, all the things that I do on Blog Talk or Facebook, or occasionally I dust off Twitter, is nothing next to that class that we do each Friday. That's at 10:30 California time, 12:30 Texas time. We do that. We just got rid of old Jezebel, Ahab's wife Jezebel. She just died this last week, and we're heading on towards when the Assyrian Empire is going to take away the top 10 tribes of Judah, so you don't want to miss that. And then on Saturday, Dan Wilson and I have Saturday Symposium. I guarantee you Terrell will be talking about this on Saturday too. Dan's been following this story as I have. I've been sending him all the links. We're going to discuss some of this story as well on Saturday. That's at 10 o'clock California time. I take that back. 9 o'clock California time, 11 o'clock Texas time in the morning, 12 o'clock Florida time for a Saturday symposium. Dan and I talk a lot about history. We talk about a lot about people that have been there and done that. We've had some great shows, got some great guests coming up. This is Contending for Truth Radio, folks. And we started out the program with a version of Cattle Call. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I did that. Number one, it's one of my favorite songs. I love that song. But as I was planning out this show, I got to thinking, that's what we're doing here, folks. We're singing the cattle call. We're singing the cattle call. The old cattleman would go out, and the cows would recognize the sound of his voice. When it was time to come in, he'd sing the cattle call and bring those cows in. When I was about 22 years old, there was a place along the Lake Success where I used to live, and there was a bunch of cows out there, and every day when it was time for the hay truck to come through and to bring the cattle back up to the barn, the old guy would come along in his old truck and he'd start honking the horn, and those cows would line up in a row and walk up the path and head towards the barn every day. That was their cattle call. This is a cattle call, folks. We're calling you. Let's line up. Let's get this job done. Now, we're not going up to the barn to eat, folks. We're getting out and spreading a story. We're getting out and raising name recognition. As my good old buddy Michael Smith over in Tarrant County would say, we're pushers. We're pushing information. We're making sure that people understand it. So we're going to close the show the exact same way that we opened the show. One more time, Terrell, we're not going to close quite yet. One more plead, folks. Besides sharing the information, besides educating yourselves, pray for Pat and Terrell Graham. Pray for them, because let me tell you, when it all comes down to it, God can take care of this. Keep them in your prayers, especially as they head on towards June 30th and as they go through the process that this is going to take. Folks, that's the most important part. Please keep them in your prayers. And with that, we're going to give off with a newer version of Cattle Call by Leanne Rimes. Beautiful song. It's been one of my favorites since I was a young kid. So we leave it with that. We want to thank you for joining us here tonight, everybody that's in the chat room. We want to thank you for your discussion that's went on. Terrell, one more time, and give your wife my love for me and tell her we're keeping her in her prayers. You guys are on my prayer list. And we're going to get this done. We're going to keep going until we do. This has been Contending for Truth Radio, a special episode, Private Property Abuse in Texas, the Terrell Graham Story. We want to thank you.
would ride on the range far and wide when the night winds blow up.